So let's read the psukim. By Yishlach Moshe Malachim Likadesh Shel Melech Edom. By the way, this automatically should bring to our minds psukim that are found in Bereishis. By Yishlach Yaakov Malachim Lufanu Baleis Elochim Arta Seyus De'edom. There are many parallels that automatically, almost instinctively, one who is familiar with Tanakh should draw miyad. Pasuk says, By Yishlach Moshe Malachim Likadesh Shel Melech Edom. Ko Amar Achicha Yisrael. I want to stress the language of Achicha that occurs and recurs so many times in the context of not just this parasha, but all the other parashas we're going to examine. And suddenly we have here not just a request, but the request is preceded by somehow an attempt to vicariously, Esau should be sympathetic to our travail, to that which we underwent. About our history, we went to Egypt. The obvious question, of course, is why should Esav care about that segment of our history? He wasn't part of it. And again, we're going to parallel in a moment the language of Vayere Olanu, that which is found in the Parsha Bikurim, where also you have a similar kind of historical tapestry. On page number 3, there you'll see the language of not Vayareu Lonu, but Vayareu Osan. Many Mepharshim already comment on this. Vayishlach Maloch Vayotzeinu Mimitzvayim. Vayinyanachu B'kodesh Yirtzei Gulecha, where are your boundaries. Nabra Nabi Atzecha, Lo Nabor B'Sadeh V'Cherem, Lo Nishtem Be'er. We're not going to derive any benefit from your territory, but rather, Derech HaMelech Nelech. We'll simply travel the main highway. Lo nited yominu smol ha'asher narog gulecha. We'll simply be a port of entry in order to enable us to get to Eretz Yisrael, as I said, in an easier kind of way. What's the response of Edom? Mayom re'ilov Edom, lo sabor bi pen b'chere ve'tzedek rosecha. Of course, this reminds us again of the bracha that's found actually in the left-hand column that was given at the end by Yitzchak to Esav. V'yalchar v'chatzichyeh. So again, we have a number of obvious parallels. Again, something that should be noted here. Notice the language. It doesn't say Ko'amar Achicha Yaakov, but Ko'amar Achicha Yisrael. That's the other name of Yaakov Avinu. Both names, as you know, the Gemara has a bracha at the end of the first parak. Kol HaKore, anyone who calls Avraham, Avraham, Over Vaseh. It's in the davening as well. Atah Hashem Elokim Hashem Bacharta. However, Yaakov Yisrael, that's not the case. Both names are utilized, I would say, almost interchangeably throughout Tanakh, and there are a host of theories as to the reasoning, the rationale behind the use of Yaakov, the use of Yisrael. I have a theory as well, to add to the multitude of theories that exist out there, and they are cut and badal. But whatever the case is, that's another occasion. Here, the term Yisrael is used, as opposed to the term Yaakov. Why? So, a second attempt. Notice this attempt is not as comparable to the first attempt. First attempt, there was essentially an explanation, Derech HaMelech. There was a historical presentation. There was a whole pageant. Lo nita yomru smo. But the reaction was pretty straightforward. Lo na, lo tabor bi pen b'cher v'tzeli kwasara. Vayomru elo b'nei yisob ha'misilo na'ale. A shorter presentation. And here the reaction is of a similar nature, but much shorter and more abrupt. Period. Fini. Initially it was pen, and now it's so it's fairly clear what their intentions are. On the second round, they made it very clear. The stress on Israel, the two segments, the two approaches. But again, the language that the Torah uses, Achicha. Now I just want to examine Psukim. There's so many Psukim, there's no end. But I just Xerox for you a number of Psukim, starting already from more or less in order. Even initially, the Torah describes upper left-hand corner at their birth. And a bit later, you know, the interchange between Esav and Yaakov regarding the Mechiras HaBechora and the source of the name of Edom, and then the tenth on the bottom, Rivka, who benevuah, was told that Yaakov should be the one who's the recipient of the bracha. Rivka Amra Yaakov b'no Lemar, hinei shamati yisavicha medavei al Esav achicha Lemar. Constantly the Torah reaffirms and Keseder addresses Esav as being Ach shel Yaakov. And then in context of the bracha that was given, the Yaakov Avinu, v'yitel l'chohe elokim yitel ha-shamayim mishmani ha-arz, rov v'gom v'sivosh, yabducha amin v'shtachabu v'chol ha-umim, heve gvir li'achecho, v'shtachabu v'chol b'nei imecho, or recho orim v'achecho b'orach. So you see again, gvir li'achecho, and that is going to occur and recur. There's a constant jockeying for struggle between Yaakov and Esav throughout history. Throughout Jewish history, Adagam Hazeh, depending on how you understand whom Edom is, I'm not going to discuss that either. That needs a lot of discussion. But the moment, of course, the Torah synchronizes it in the most beautiful way. Ach yotzo, yotzo, Yaakov, Esav, Esav, the moment he left the scene, the Esav, Achiv, Bo Mitzidom. He arrives in the scene, and then we know the despondency and melancholia on the part of Yitzhak in terms of the reaction to the bracha that he, unfortunately, was not zochet to. And then but again, the language of Achicha is utilized Keseder. If you look below, Sukim that I found as well. But before we look below, look to the right, then we'll look below. Again, Yitzhak telling Esav the bracha that he's going to receive a kind of b'di'evet bracha in Gvir Samtib. And we see the remorse and we see the unbelievable pathos on the part of Esav. And Esav is crying. So Esav has an appreciation for Kedusha at some level, at some visceral level. I always like to contrast Esav and Laban. Laban is, according to Chazal, especially Al-Pi HaKabbalah, certainly Sifrei Yesod talk about Laban being novel, an absolutely scandalous, treacherous, full of avarice, greed, an individual who was wallowing in rishus from beginning to end, without absolutely no sense of kedusha whatsoever. Esav grew up in a home, but he has a sense of kedusha, and even appreciates what a bracha is all about. So here the Yitzhak responds, "Yalchar b'chatichya b'salchicha tavam." Again, "Alchicha tavam," language of Achicha, but you are going to be under his Aegis. There's a constant, as I indicated, jockeying for position. That's in Chazal, many, many places. So Esav, the Torah describes Vayistom Esav es Yaakov, a language that Chazal, Parshim, talk about. Mistama is a language which is not the same as Sino. There are distinctions between the two. I'm very into philology, I'm very into words, very into language. My father Shalom was also into it, that's where I got it from. So this is a very strong language the Torah uses. I'm going to kill my brother Yaakov again. My brother, but I'm going to kill him. And then Rivka gets wind of this. And she suggests that he run for his life. Again and again and again. Look in the Vayishlach in the microscopic print. You'll see again the same type of language in the encounter between Yaakov and Esau. The Ramban comes at the beginning of Vayishlach. Ramban notes that they were dormant. There was a period of dormancy for 20 years. And that's what the Medrash has a famous comment. The Medrash says that no one asked Yaakov to reach out to Esau. Maxig boz de kelev al riv lo lo. Here the dog is walking down the street and you're walking down the street and he decided suddenly to go ahead and grab the ears of the dog begins to yelp. That's exactly what happened. Esav is the Kelev, and Yaakov decided to send out overtures, which Chazal took him to task. But once he did that, the Ramban is a cloud that makes over similar button. That's a cloud, even when it's incorrect and inappropriate, and it was something that Chazal took him to task for. Once he does it, it becomes embedded in the annals of Jewish history as a methodology, as an approach, as a tactic that we should utilize as well. You know the Chazal comment that Vayigash, that three times in Tanakh you had that, but Yigash with Yehuda and Yosef, And what happens to Eliyahu HaNavi, and here also, Hagashah Lepirus, Hagashah Lemachama, Hagashah Lefila, that becomes embedded in Chazal, those are the three modus operandi that we utilize. But take a look at the Pesukim, I underlined it basically all the time, and the Beis Halev is the one who at great length has a discussion, Hatzileinim of Yad Ochi Yad Esau, Svei Dinim, says the Beis Halev. Yad Ochi Yad Esau. By the way, I will show a bit later, that's not the case of Yishuel. We saw in Lod and in Akko exactly where they're at, what they're all about. They're not Biyad Ochi Biyad Esa. There's no element of Achicha down in Yishuel. I mentioned many times, we shouldn't point it out, but I heard first from Hagoyin of Ruchim Gerelitz Natsal, the Talmud of the Briskalov. He told me, probably over 50 years ago, Buyeh Pera Adam, what a language. He should have said, Buyeh Adam Pera. So we should say, no, the Chetza is a Pera. But it happens to be Betsu Hashal Adam. That's what the Rishonim point out. That's what Yishmael is all about. And we saw it and we constantly see it. But unfortunately, those who are mired in politics and mired in democracy and mired in all kinds of other values that are, to a certain extent, Lafianu is 90, I'll be polite, off the derech. They don't necessarily see that. They don't learn Tanakh. They have no concept of Chazal. So, they can't be completely faulted. They're just Ami Aris or Isa Rabban. So here we have Hatzilinim of Yad Ochim Yad Esau. Then the Beis Halevi, there are two aspects that Esau sometimes tries to hug Yaakov Avino by Chabkeu, by Nashkeu, Rashi calls over there on the spot. And on the other hand, Esau can come as someone who is clearly antagonistic Yaakov Avino, Yad Ochim Yad Esau. Two Bechinos of Esau, and this we see throughout Tanakh. Kimon, everywhere you go, but it's fascinating, as I said, that the language of Achicha, which the Torah stresses here many, many times. And you take a look again, Vayikach, below left-hand corner on page 1, Vayikach min abba b'yadah minchal eisav achiv. And Yaakov then instructs the messengers, the emissaries, Vayitzav es harishu lemor ki yivkashicha eisav achi. Again, constantly the stress on achi. And Yaakov thought he's going to be able to appease him somehow through some fashion. And that attempt at appeasement can only be founded upon one hanocha, one premise, namely, that there is some connection of consanguinity between Yaakov and Esau. Otherwise, the entire effort at Hagosha, Lepius, Letfila, Lemelchama would have absolutely no grounding, would not have any foundation whatsoever. And the Torah goes on to describe initially the Mavak between Yaakov and the Sar Shel Esau. And more or less, you have here, I think, an overall description of this element of the relationship between Yaakov and Esau, which is primarily founded upon the idea of Achicha. Now, it's very fascinating, as I said, that the Torah does not at all discontinue the use of the language of Achicha, even in the context when, as I said, there's a fair amount of divisiveness between them, and Esau wants to kill Yaakov Avinu. Hinei Esau Achicha, misnachim v'chol ha'argecha. Fascinating why the Torah uses the term Achicha. Because at the end of the day, that residual element is there, in the recesses of Esau's personality, albeit perhaps somewhat concealed by a mistima, a kind of hatred and the like, and the Torah actually reflects this as well as Kayadua and the Psukim and Dvarim on top of page number 2, left hand corner. Lo sisai v'adomi ki achichol. Torah is very clear. And Rashi comments, what a lotion of Rashi. Rashi has to be read with a fine-tooth comb, like every Rishon, but Rashi even more so than other Rishonim. So the Ramban reads Rashi. Rashi uses one word. Legabri. The yesh l'dayek medivri Rashi Evo, exactly what I said. Lo sisayim edomi legabri. Avo bishiroi l'chol etavo. Shiyotze b'cheret l'kosecha. Rashi essentially tells you this dialectic. The dialectic pull that exists between Esau and Yaakov is embedded in the language of Rashi in one word, Lagamri. Rashi captured the entire interchange and inter-involvement, interaction between Yaakov and Esau. And the Torah used the language of Lo Tisa'eva Domi. Fascinating language. The Gemara has many times, the Gemara says Lo Tochal Kol Te'eva. The Gemara Kulin, where else we have Psochim, the Gemara has a few times, Davash Mitu'ah. What is the word Mitu'ah? Something that's abominable to you. Don't view Adomi with a sense of abomination. But then Rashi says there is an element of Tiu, but lo de Gabri. That's an important Rashi. That Rashi notes this distinction over here. And even Rashi right away has this almost like Shogo Mitzidah, the Gemara Ksubis. Abu Shavoy Bechalatavo, really, they're worthy of Tiu. She Yotza Bachel Bechalzo, hold back. There should be a sense of self-containment with reference to now the Ramban also, take a look at the Ramban directly below. The Ramban comments, the chen asa imedom, shom alahem schusavos, shahoyu mizera kedish. Ramban already reflects the same idea that Rashi has, that there's a schusavos. The Gemara has a Shabbos, the Gemara has a challah between brisavos and schusavos. The Gemara says that schusavos is tomah, brisavos is loy tomah. But somehow, with reference to Esav, schusavos is still operative. Schusavos because of his initially where he comes from, mizera kedish. So again, the Ramban, as I said, reflects this dualism, this dual kind of approach towards Esav. And it was essentially, you cannot look at Esav the way the Ramban looks at an Ach, the famous Ramban, Rasal was very fond of this Ramban, Matasaniyim, lower right hand corner over here. Rambam in the Matsaniyim, he's talking about the Olam Ein Adam May Oni Minat Stoka. No one will become impoverished from giving Stoka. Ein Dover Ra. Lo Hezik Niglal Beglal Stoka. Shenema Vayimai Seh Stoka Sholom. Kol Amarachim Rachim Malov. Shenema V'nasa Lecha Rachamim Richam Chavir Becha. V'chol Mishu Achzor Ben Amarachim. Someone who's lacking this quality of compassion. Yesh Lopish Lichusam. Shein Achzor Yis Metsuya Lebakum. What a statement. This cruelty is only found by non-Jews. Then the Rambam writes, we are brothers. And then the Rambam writes, if one brother doesn't have rachmanis on another brother, who's going to have rachmanis on him? This we see all the time here in Eretz Yisrael. Whenever there's a difficulty, whenever we have the way the Rasalashi is called the Gemara Megillah. The Gemara says that the moment that the signet ring was removed by Hashem, she gave it to Haman, had a greater impact. Greater impact than all the prophets. So tragedy, unfortunately, and war and the like bring us together. Otherwise, we are divisive, but we're not really divisive. It's just an outward kind of divisiveness. Internally, we are very much together, and that's what the Rambam writes. The question is, does this statement apply to Yaakov and Esau? Offhand, I would say it does not. It does not apply to Yaakov and Esau, because Esau is, you would call him in Hebrew, hafachfach, that he seems to be, has a bipolar kind of personality, at least certainly in his relationship with Yaakov Avinu. And therefore, sometimes we sense the sinner in a very clear kind of fashion, and other times the achva somehow comes to the fore. And Rashi Vayishtach actually quotes on the pasuk by Yoretz Esav Dikraso Vayechabkeyu. That's a famous Rashi that I alluded to a moment ago. So Rashi over there comments by Yoretz Esav Dikraso Vayechabkeyu. So Rashi has a beautiful commentary. It says over there Vayipa Al Tzavro Vayishakeyu. And then it mentions Vayivkut. So Rashi says, Vayichabkeyu, Oshin Rashi, Nizgalgulu Rachamot. That somehow the, it's on the bottom of the page. That Rashi says, Nizgalgulu Rachamot Shero, Mishtachavagol, Shtachavot Salolo. Again, those yearnings of brotherhood once again came to the fore. Vayishakeyu, Rashi brings the Nikud, Yesh Kolk Medavar, the Brice of the Sifre, Yesh Adarshu, Shalom Shoka Bacholibo. And then we have the famous comment of Shimon Yechori, Halokhi Biyadua Sheisa Sonu Diako. What a statement. Halacha. The Netziv has a controversy about an anti-Semitism. That's G'day to read. But if I tell you all the things to do that you would have to do, you would have to retire from work and just start doing that. It's not a bad idea. Anyway, so the Halacha Esav Soni Liyakov. What's the language of Halacha Esav Soni Liyakov? The Netziv is aiming on that. Halacha sounds like it's sounds like an objective, almost absolute kind of uvdah that somehow we can't get past. So we see this ups and downs constantly in the relationship between Yaakov and Esau. And as essentially, the yachasim between them are not exactly the greatest, are far from ideal, but from time to time, the midas harachamim or the midas ha'achvah is misorer. But of course, you cannot be somech on a gavra hafach v'chon kimo Esau. He certainly is not someone that you can rely on. So now, in terms of the, going back now to the original discussion that we had on page number one. When we saw the psukim, so again, this language of Achicha Yisrael is rarely found in Tanakh. Normally, the language that's found in Tanakh is Achicha Yaakov. That's the language found a number of times in Tanakh. I actually cited it here on page. Number four, the Navi Ovadia, the famous Haftarah, Chazen Ovadia. I'm not going to go through the whole Haftarah because I'm limited. But in the middle of the Haftarah, the pasuk says, "V'chatu gibarecha teimon l'man yikaris ish me'harisom yikotel, nechamas ochicho Yaakov, techas rabusha, v'nichrata le'olam." So that language of ochicho Yaakov, that's the classic language. But here, in Ovadia, that language is used, but somehow Dafka over here, so it's the language of Achicha Yisrael. I don't think it's found anywhere else in Tanakh. I didn't check. You can Google it, you'll find it much easier than I can, but the is Daiti, I don't recall anywhere in Tanakh that such a language is used. Very unusual. And also the term Yisrael. And I think that reflects the fact that, and this is, I think, Mashma from the Rishonim that I studied, namely that there was an effort here to sort of soft pedal and approach Edom, but not with the frontal Yaakov, but rather do it on a more moderate kind of scale using the term Yisrael. Yisrael is a different terminology than Yaakov Avinu. This, as I said, needs a lot of discussion why the two terms are used, but the term Yaakov, as Rashi comments in Chumash, v'ikva v'yumiya, that's how the bracha came. It came through deception, through deceit. Mashenki Yisrael, Rabba ben Elvais, means Yashar Keel. V'hoya he'akov v'mishor, that's the ultimate Nevu of the Tanakh, of the Nevi'im, that the Akov, that which was paying through Ikuv, is now going to be Len Mishar. Interesting, on my GPS, sometimes when they tell me that I'm delayed, they write Ikuv, Ayin Kuf Vav Vav, Vav Beis. Of course, they mean Ayin Chav Vav Beis. So either they don't know Hebrew, which they don't, or number two, they have apparently this in mind. Otherwise, what else could they have in mind? Ikuv, Be'ikva, you may have to now take a detour. Is that what they mean? I'm just suggesting. I've been concerned by it since I'm always stuck quite often in different places. The other night I was in Sagot, and unfortunately the other day there was a terrible Dikiram Sagot area right in the area that I passed. Matter of fact, when we went there to Hasana, so I didn't tell my wife we were going to Shtachim. I told her, no, it's a very beautiful area, et cetera, as well. And they have kids, so still she began to see all this kviot, all these headdresses of other types. Anyway, the kitzur, but the term ikuv, why is that term used? It should be ayin chav vav bet. Dan, you know Hebrew. So don't you agree? So the lashon that used ikuv, so as I said, I'm just spelling error. Anyway, I wrote to them to see exactly what their source is. They didn't respond to me. Okay.
Really?
Ah, okay. That could be. There's a famous Rashi that we're all familiar with. Vayelech al eretz mei Yaakov Ochi. Take a look over here on page number two, lower left hand corner, Vayishlach, striking puzzle. The Rashi has a comment, Mevi Shagoda. Somehow, Eretz Yisrael is not able to handle both Yaakov and Esau. Mevi Shagoda, mei Yaakov Ochi, nishtar chol shegzeras kigei yezaracha, amutal azara shel Yitzhak. Both sign of Yitzhak, S-E-I-O-N, was supposed to take part in this zera, gei yezaracha, but Yitzhak obviously had both in mind, but what did Esav say? Eilach mivikan. Lo midum shach v'lo miyotzach. I neither want your honey nor your sting. Ein li chedek lo matana she nitna lo ha'aretz hazos v'lo piron ha'shtar. Part of it was going down to Mitzrayim. That's part of the piron ha'shtar. That Esav, he wants Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't want the Oketz. He doesn't want the Mitzrayim piece. V'nebu she shemachat v'chay rassal. So that also here is a very, very striking possibly. So again, this describes that they were supposed to be more or less on a similar kind of course, and obviously each one went in their own derech, each one went in their own direction. Rabbi Soloveitchik was very fun when he said on the Haggadah to notice that Esav, the moment Hashem promised him Harseir, right away, the Torah then describes all the alufim, all the chieftains, and all the princes that the Zoya, as an Arichas, the Torah spends so many psukim devoted to Esav and to Esav's incredible fecundity and productivity and somehow prosperity and his family overnight grew and burgeoned and swollen in beyond belief without any, doesn't seem to have any Akmas Nefesh raising children at all. And Yaakov Avinu also is promised to sell. What do we get? Yaakov Avinu, the other B'tzayma, and the whole saga begins. A rather stark contrast between Yaakov and Esau. So here, by Yerach HaLeres and Yaakov Achiv, as I said, I want to just comment on what I mentioned in the beginning, the two, a contrast between the Pasha Bikurim with the Pasha Rami Rabbi Avi, that's the Mishnah of Abitzochim. The Mishnah writes, V'doshim Rami Rabbi Avi, Achimu Kala Pasha Kula. Ere Pesach, then I'll say that that's what we do. And here also, in a shorter kind of way, on page number one, we have this mention of the history of Klal Yisrael being told to Esau. But there's a distinction, I was pointed out to you earlier, between the language of Bayoreu Lanu and Bayoreu Osanu. What's the distinction between the language here, Bayoreu Lanu, and the language of Kisavo in the Bikurim, Bayoreu Osanu? So in Chukas, it's mentioned that Abbasin Yodim Mitzrayimah, and what happened to us. And that's essentially, why is that mentioned briefly? The answer is that that's what we have in common with Esau. And that's all Klal Yisrael were interested in, trying to find common ground to show the common denominator between ourselves and Esau. And other than that, the fact that Hashem gave us Eretz Yisrael, that's mentioned in the Parsha Bikurim, that was not told to Esau. That would be putting a red flag in front of the bull. And that would be absolutely, that's based on the Rambam. And Chai Rishon already pointed this out, but it's Meduric in the Pesukim. But the living they see in the two Lashonos, Vayareu Osanu, or Vayareu Lanu. Pasha Kisavu said Vayareu Osanu. Essentially, what do they do? This is similar to what was done by Goebbels and others during the Shoah. Character assassination. That's the language of Vayareu Osanu. We became evil. I mean, the same thing exists today. We see that. What do the Arabs are trying to do? We are evil people. We are perpetrators of apartheid. We're guilty of apartheid. Clearly. Nothing comparable. I was sitting with some South Africans last evening at a chasana, a Philip Roy. So, all table South Africans. So I had difficulty communicating with them. They speak a different language than I do. Usually I have difficulty sometimes in England. The further north you go, then it's cold to Newcastle. I don't have a clue what they're talking about. And those even further north, forget about it. And true maga. I discussed it with you a few times. Anyway, but the South Africans, so I made some effort to try to understand some of them, and they were talking to me about the apartheid, telling me the whole history of apartheid in South Africa, how 5 million certain groups controlled, I don't know, 50, 60 million, and how they were able to do that. I was wondering for so many years, and then suddenly the whole thing turned upside down. But as they explained to me, that's how they saw it. They felt that it was given over to individuals who were not really trained properly, educated properly in order to direct traffic in the country, and that's what happened. That's their analysis of the entire matter. But as far as the apartheid over here, it's literally by Arayo Osono, Amitsu, by Anuno. They're being tried in the heart because Chayalei Tzal obviously are guilty of apartheid. Why? Because they throw 4,000 projectiles, missiles at us, and we have the audacity to defend ourselves and use the Iron Dome.
And
put
them into the government.
What was that?
And put them into the
government. That's correct. Anyway, so basically, there are two, as I said, two segments here that I mentioned before. I want to make a comment about that also. But as I said, the two segments are also clear in terms of, I want to just show you in the language of the Pesukim on page number one, again, in the two segments that I described earlier, and finally, in the last pasuk, the Torah essentially summarizes the entire event. There's absolutely no contact between us. But as I said, essentially what you have here, the Ramban writes over there, I wrote it down over here. Ramban says, why the Torah mekatzer? Because the Torah says to us in Dvarim how we should treat Esau. And based on that, we decided to leave the scene because we had no choice. Hashem did not permit us to go any further. And that's what the Pesukim say here in Dvarim, also you have in front of you. Yes, I'm sadly more. Atem obrim b'gul acheichem b'nei Esau. Hayoshim b'seir. They still remain acheichem. B'yirum ikem b'nishmatem ha'od al tizgorubam. Don't start up with them. You'll attain lachem y'atzim al midra kafrogel. Ki yushal Esau nasad yitzaseir, the Torah says. Oto tishrum eitam. Yes, you can purchase food. They got nine tikkun eitam. The Torah in Dvarim is very clear that B'nai Esav, Achim Shalom, they're still our brothers, despite everything. And the Ramban on the spot says, "V'tam achecha b'nei." So the Ramban is the kasha. Why the Torah uses that language recurringly? Sheyichus Yisrael and Avram b'chol zaram achim ki kulam hein nimerdet. Is that time lo sesay v'adam ki achecha? And then the Ramban says the following: Rak b'nei apilakshe b'shmael. They're not part of Achra. Ramban did distinguish between B'nai Yishmael and B'nai Esav. So the concept, and we see this exactly at the end of Toldos as well. If you remember, the Torah says, "Vayistav Esav Esyachav al Avrocha Sheber Va'Aviv, Vayom Esav Belibo, Yikuv B'mei Velovi, V'Harga Esyachav Avi." And in the Haftar of Toldos, which is the Haftar of Malachi, it's also found here, on page 3. Masod v'Hashem Yisrael b'yad Malachi. Ahavti Yisrael v'Hashem. V'amartim b'nei Avtonim. Halo och Yisrael v'Yakov v'Hashem. Bo'ohav es Yaakov es Esav son Esav. Rabbeinu Shalom has sinned for Esav, love for Yaakov, but b'chol zot has the Navi described Yaakov Avinu and Esav. Och Esav v'Yakov v'Hashem. Despite the backdrop of sinah, there's still an element of achla. And this we see constantly throughout Tanakh. Again, I can show you other psukim, which also indicate this idea. The Ramban in the Hukosai is really the one who develops this idea, and it's really at great length discussed by a famous Rabbeinu B'chai al Torah based on a pasuk in Nitzavim. Look at page 4 in Nitzavim. The Torah speaks about last pasuk in the line, upper left-hand corner. The Nasan Hashem Lokechus Galotsa Eile, Alo Yvecha V'Yasanecha Sher Dabucha. My father was shown, asked me, decades ago, who are the Oyvecha and who are the Sonecha? So the Ramban is the one who reveals this, but Rabbi Mechaye, at the bottom of page 4, Barichos, says, Oyvecha Yishmael, Sonecha Esav. And the Rabbi Mechaye develops this idea, the two Umos, Shanachna Meshubon Tachdeem, Umufuzorim Beineem, and he goes on to explain there's a distinction between the two, and the distinction is fairly evident and fairly obvious. Says Rabbi Mechaye, look at the last paragraph, even when he has sin towards us, but there is that element of compassion, of sympathy, absolute sinner. Even intends that philologically, it's also correct. Oh yeah, the Lashon Avoy. Both the same shovels. Al Shem Shanifu, the other saying, Oy Bavoy. What a incredible Kiddush. That's so Pashu. Dima Pidikul. Umashi Isa Boy Becha, in the Shisma Haradi for the son of Shem Bene Esa. Sheikha Golosin, the Hobokan Shu, the Adamu, the Kron Sonecha, the Sesa Sonesi, the Tucker I just quoted. The head of the Benish Mishra, Tahas Snua Kiti Boyel. Zeisa, Veseisa Sanesi, and the Shimcha Kitirat Kibirta, Ze Ishmael Abame Hagar, Nesha Bnei Yishua Koshim Yisrael, Yosef Neisa, the Kach Korna Kosovo Decha, a well known Rabbeinu B'chaye, but it's based on the position of the Ramban, who really develops this idea already in Pashas. The Ramban mentions actually in the Hukosai, but based on the Psukim here in Gvarim, so this is a fundamental distinction between Esav and Yaakov. I just want to comment on two other comments. Yeah. Okay, so this needs a separate discussion. First of all, are the present day Arabs, are they the sign of Ishmael?
The Europeans are not Esav.
Correct. But the way the Ramban and the Dali have shown them somehow, that's how they saw it. They saw this parallel between the Arba Golios, the present Golios that we are in, is the Golios of Edom Yishmael, which needs also a lot of discussion. But I just want to note, and this I believe is also critical, and I think it's mentioned by Rashi and clearly by the Ramban, namely, Rashi comments over here, "Vayom Elov Edom Lo Savro Bikem Bachev Veisel Gosecha." This is Pasha. So Rashi said, "The Kol Yisrael inherited the coal from their father Yitzhak." And Edom inherited the sword from Yitzhak, because Yitzhak Avinu said, Hakol kol Yaakov, and he blessed Esau, v'yalkar v'chatichya. So basically, what did Melech Edom tell Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people? Just as Klal Yisrael take pride in the voice that we inherited from Yitzhak. So too, Edom will go to battle with the sword they inherited from Yitzhak. So essentially what's happening is the following. It's a promise from Yitzhak. It's a haftocha. From Yitzhak Avinu to Esau and haftocha to Yaakov Avinu. They're just carrying out the haftocha. And as a matter of fact, when the Torah actually here in Dvarim again, looking at the in Dvarim, that I just want to be medayik. I don't know if I have the right to be, make such a deal. The Torah relates here how Klal Yisrael followed the commandment not to capture Edom, just as we didn't capture Ammon and Moab, and only captured areas that Hashem commanded them to. And here, it would seem that Edom had no need for the bracha from Yitzhak. Even without that, we could not cause them any harm. The pasuk says here, Al Tisgarubav, which translates means, don't provoke them, implying perhaps that if Edom were to fight the first shot, they would be allowed to retaliate, thus necessitating Yitzhak's bracha that Al-Khar B'chatichya, that they live by the sword. Maybe an alternative explanation would be that the commandment not to fight with Edom came after the incident described in the Parsha. That's difficult to ascertain because they looked at Mukha Matera. Torah was not written in any chronological law, at least according to some Rishonim. That's a big one, Holmes of Rishonim in and of itself. But Rashi is telling us that you saw that the bracha of a righteous person takes effect. That's the Gemara, all of the Shas, the Midrashim, and Chazal, that the bracha of Yitzhak works for us. Without the bracha of Hakol Kol Yaakov, the tefillos of Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim would not have been accepted. So too the bracha that Yitzhak gave to Esau, despite the fact he's an evil person, also to the fact we can't fight with them. Ba'achar v'atichya, ayadayim de'esau, and that's a Yisod Golem. I want to just be Messiah since I see there's a fascinating Beis Halevi, which is, I'm very, very fond of the Beis Halevi. I'm fond of all the briskers. But the Beis Halevi, because it's Rabbi Soloveitchik's great-grandfather, whom he's named after, has an unbelievable diuk in the psukim that I was always misfalled from. Pasuk says in Chumash, "Le'isisna asachicha levavecha." Well, no psukim, kadeshim yutes. V'yachta le'achta kavocha. The question is, why is it when it comes to re'acha, the Torah says v'yachta? And when it comes to le'isisna, what did the Torah say, achicha? Le'isisna asachicha levavecha. Isn't that striking? Isn't that strange? You should have the kasha. And in general, one could ask, is it necessary to command avas ach? That's something which is essentially built on consanguinity. It's biological. It's built into the very teva of the person. As Halevi says, a tremendous yisod. He said that ava, loving someone else, that's the yisod for society coming together, coexisting, coalescing. So the Torah wants to tell us about the yachas that should exist between ish le'reyu. It says v'ahavta. Ava mamish. One should have ava. One should try to develop good relationships with everyone else in the entire world. But when it comes to brothers, brotherly love, where everything is automatic, everything is natural, it's built into the very architecture, the very biology of their being. There's ava v'yachva. The Torah doesn't have to tell us about ava because that's a tchunas hanemesh tibis. It's a natural kind of response that brothers have towards each other. And the Rambam says, "Ima'ach lo yirachim alach, mi yirachim alav." That rachmanus is built in. So what does the Torah say? The Torah describes a situation where maybe that Abba might be under attack. And then, of course, what will happen? What will come in its place? Sinner. Sinner will place that Abba. And therefore, sometimes when that sinner comes to play, it can be even more strident then, shall we say, between two individuals who have no absolute connection with each other in terms of consanguinity. They're not related to each other, but when there's sin between our brothers, and I have unfortunately encountered in my lifetime countless times. I cannot begin to describe situations I've been in where two brothers have no connection with each other. Often it has to do with the well-known pasuk, HaKesef Yaneh Sakol, or the way I read the pasuk, HaKesef Yaneh Sakol, as opposed to Yaneh. Often that's the case, but that sinner can sometimes even become a kind of genetic property. They attempt to transfer it to convey it not just between the brothers, their children, their grandchildren, and they want to drive a wedge in the entire family. And that's where I appeared on the scene to try to somehow find ways to bring people together. So that's what the Beis Halel points out. So the Torah cannot say V'ahavta to your brother kamocha. The Torah cannot say that. That's what the Torah says, L'sisna chachicha. Okay, you can't come to a love, but L'chol hapochos, al tisnayim. That's the Beis Halel says. Torah from Asol Rechim. Tremendous, and the relationship to Yaakov and Esav is, as we indicated, a very tumultuous one, and one that's reflected very much, I think, in the Pesukim in the Tanakh. Halavai, we should be zeichet what the Navi says at the end, also in the Haftarah, that at the end is a struggle, but all the Moshim Ba'atziyam, Dishma, the Tzav Esav, the Navi Obadi says, and Halavai, this Hashem, the Korob, Oysel Hashem, Hamaluch.
The Beis Halevi that the Rav mentioned, he also talks about how Yad Achihi was more scared of
being his ach than his right? I learned the Beis Halevi and Torah before I was Banitza, the entire thing.
So what does that tell us?
Someone who joined the Beis Halevi, so he decides to use me as his carbon, so he could learn the Beis Halevi. What?